Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a show about saying exactly what you mean in the clearest and dearest way possible. This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. This is a show about gratitude felt and gratitude expressed and stamped and mailed to someone.
This is not about small talk, but it's important talk about the things that matter in life. We have another wonderful guest today, but before we get started, let us tell you our view of a love letter. So what is a love letter? It can be to anyone at all, to a sweetheart, family members, friends, teachers, anyone who's made a difference in your life and you want to express to them how you feel. It can be to people still living or long gone, and as we'll find out today, well, I won't tell you what we'll find out today.
Good. Anyway, they should be real letters on real paper and stamped and mailed to someone. And there's always someone appropriate to mail a letter to. Letters, good love letters, are for people you want to invite into your life or sweetly usher out of your life. They're for hoping for the moon. They're for expressing passion, for simple thank yous, for huge gratitude. It really doesn't matter. They're for anything at all. A good love letter, I think, is your truth put to paper in a loving, compassionate way.
They go way beyond romance, as a matter of fact. A joy to receive and a greater joy to send. Often when we receive certain kinds of service from vendors, we're more likely to send a letter when we're unhappy with the service, right? I have to tell you a story about a time when I sent one to a service person that was really fabulous service, someone who went out of their way to help me when I was stuck 70 miles from home and my car wasn't working, and the mechanic did something, you know, extraordinary and actually invented a part so that my car could live back to San Francisco. So I wrote a love letter to this mechanic, and a couple of days went by and I got a phone call. It was from the mechanic, who was practically in tears. He said this was the first time anyone had ever sent a letter like that.
Well, we should all be doing it more and more.
Yes. I'm convinced that that's the way for us to get better service, is not to send the ones where we're getting bad service.
Well, send those too.
Send those too, and I do that, but also to send the good ones.
Yes. And that brings up kind of an interesting point to me, which is we talk about a love letter as expressing the love in your heart. We talk a lot about the love in your heart. The truth of the matter is you don't have to have love in your heart to write a good love letter. You can have anger in your heart and disappointment and acrimony and conflict and ambivalence and work through that and get to the part that is the love and send that. And sometimes a good love letter is highlighting the positive and letting the other stuff go for the sake of putting your best self on paper.
Well, I can't wait to start talking with our guest today. Every week on this show we have people who have faced challenges in life or have just lived long enough to have love to express. And we have, as I said, another great guest today, Janet.
We do.
Take it away.
I'm going to be so happy to introduce this person. It's Judy Seropin, who is professionally a life coach and one of the best listeners. She has a way of staring at you, and I know that she hears everything you say and some of what you want to say but don't. And I've known Judy for a long time, and I know that she listens with the eye of a professional and the heart and soul of a friend. Judy, I'm just going to turn to you and ask you to talk a little bit, with an eye towards who gets your love letter, of course, about yourself and some of the biggest challenges and blessings and gifts, unexpected gifts that you've received in your life.
Well, that's a heavy, heavy question. And thank you very much for that wonderful, wonderful intro. And because I'm such a good listener, talking is not what I like to do a lot of, so this is going to be interesting for me.
Okay.
Let's see. First of all, I just to tag on to what you guys have said, yes, writing a letter when you're not happy, but because we give ourselves permission to write the letters when we're not happy, we really should do what Teresa talked about and write those other letters, because those are the ones that have impact, not only on us, but on who receives them. So what a great story.
So the compliment is a more powerful tool than the complaint.
I think so.
I agree.
Yeah. And what's fun is to be able to complain to somebody and then also compliment them. You know who does that? My husband does that all the time.
How does he do it?
Well, when he writes complaints,
he
also will then, if that same person has done something that's complimentary or great, he'll compliment them. You know, it's two-sided. So anyway, my biggest challenge has been being identical twin.
Ah.
One of my biggest blessings is being an identical twin. So I don't know what else to tell you.
I think people look at twins and think that it is kind of a magical thing and relationship. I think people who are not look and say, I want my children to be that, or I wish I had a twin.
Oh, I've never heard anyone say, I wish they could be a twin. But I'm looking at you, and yes, I'm seeing, gee, that might have been fun for Janet.
Because most things are.
Most things are.
Okay.
Let's
What's
see.
The blessing part? What's the challenge part?
The challenge part is being the identical twin and not people not knowing which one you are.
Oh.
And when you're growing up, when you're little, it doesn't seem to matter. But when you're an adolescent, there's a part of people that they don't want to look stupid. And so, like in high school particularly, people wouldn't say hello to Jennifer and I because they didn't know which one we were.
Oh.
So, and we, of course, being adolescents, didn't understand that. We just thought, oh, what have I done? Somebody doesn't like me. What have I done? So that's a bit of a challenge.
Did you dress alike?
Not after the fourth grade. Uh-huh. We discovered if we didn't dress alike, we had more clothes. So... It's as simple as
clever.
That.
Clever.
No great big thing. And the blessing is I've always had a friend. Always.
That's the part that looks so good.
Yeah. We grew up in the military, so we moved around a lot. So we were, every 18 months, we would move. And so I always had, my best friend always moved with me. And my sister feels the same way. We're not best friends now, but we were growing up. So... it's kind of, you know, but blessings and challenges are often that way. They're the same thing. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
I don't know what else to tell you about my life. I could start from I was two, but you don't
want
to hear that.
No, I mean, some other time, and I wish the show were longer because I know it would be wonderful to hear that. But I have something, if I may say. We were talking once because I know you wrote a letter to your sister.
Yes. Yes.
And you said the most interesting, lovely thing to me. You said... among other things, you said, she's the pretty one.
Yeah.
And I started to laugh. I said, but you're identical.
Yeah.
And that struck me so. And I'm looking at this beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed, smiling face in front of me and wondering, what makes you say that? Because you're looking out and not in?
Well, I don't say that anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, my life has changed a lot. So oh. I don't see her as the prettier one. I just actually see her, which is exciting for me.
And so, probably for her also.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden she's Jennifer and I'm Judy.
Oh.
You know, because for the longest time it was that individuation that they talk about.
Yes.
We got to do it twice. Once with ourselves and family and once with our sister.
Oh.
So, you know, we got double doses. I don't know what else to say about
that. How are you different?
Let's see. Jennifer is, how are we different? You know, when everybody asks me that question, all I can see is how we're the same.
How are you the same?
We have the same, very much the same sense of humor. We have, we're always looking for the fun. You know, you'd fit right in, Janet.
Thank you.
Whatever we do, it's fun. I think the differences are more on a spiritual, metaphysical plane. I tend to go inward in a different way. I'm not saying that she doesn't. I just do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is she stayed very much involved with organized religion. She's a practicing Roman Catholic. I'm not. I'm not into any religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into spirituality.
Are interesting, specific things.
Judy, you used the word individuation, and I'm not sure I know what that means, and perhaps our listeners don't either.
Well, there's a time when, you know, you As children, you think you're the same as everything, you know, that because you are, that's what everybody else is. And when you start to see that you have different feelings and different ways of seeing things, and like you do too, you know, so because I feel it doesn't mean you feel it. So that's what I mean by the separation. You know, my mother felt this way, therefore when I was two, I felt that way.
Right.
And my sister... If I felt this way, my sister felt this way, and vice versa. If I saw how she felt, then I must feel the same way.
I see.
And so as an identical twin, you sometimes take that on as, well, if she's doing it, then I must be doing it, because after all, our DNA is the same.
I see.
It's not true.
Okay, thanks.
You recently, or not too long ago, wrote a love letter to your sister.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it was really, really fun. And I... really got in touch with what you were talking about the letting go of the things to get down to the true love of it. And I think what I would do differently this time if I wrote her another love letter is I'd let go of more of that and not put it in the letter at all.
Now, more of what?
More of the, well, in my life, what I call shadow, you know, the part of, I see in her the part of me that I don't want to look at in myself.
Ah.
And I wrote about that.
The flip side of having a mirror image right there.
Yes, yeah. And I probably wouldn't have put that much in the letter. I don't know, maybe.
How do you think she took that in, or do you not know?
We don't know, because she said thank you, and that was the end of the conversation.
I see, okay.
So when you send out a love letter, don't be attached to what's going to happen.
Right, and we say that a lot. This is a gift. This isn't something. You don't give somebody a bracelet or a scarf and an eye towards what you're going to get in return.
Right.
And you can't do it with this either.
Right.
On the other hand, you still hope for something with a love letter, a response that says, I heard just what I wanted to hear. Thank you. Or how much it meant.
But I got a lot out of it.
Okay, let's talk about that. What did you get?
Well, I really got how attached I was to her loving me back the way I wanted, what you were just saying, and the what do you want back from the love letter is, oh, thank you, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I really learned how attached I was to that instead of just allowing myself just to love her because I love her.
Yes.
And let it be that, you know. I don't know what else. It's just sort of like, okay.
No, that's important. I mean, that's a very moving, important thing,
yeah.
I think.
So. And because of the way she reacted, I really got in touch with, oh. And now I just love her.
Oh, that's so
nice.
So
the gift is I just love her, and it doesn't matter how she receives it.
So that's the gift to both of you.
Yes.
Certainly the gift to her, I just love you, and the gift to yourself is I can just love, and I don't have to be burdened by the other complications.
Right. If you think about how God loves us, he just loves us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't love him back, he still just loves us.
Yes. And knows how to live with that.
And knows how, you know, yeah. So.
Well, Judy, you said when you talked with Janet earlier about this love letter, you said something about letting go to get down to the true love of it. Janet, could you tell us more about what that means?
Yes, I think, you know, a good love letter is in part preparation. A love letter is that beautiful blend of feeling and thought and preparation and figuring out what you want to say as it reflects what you feel. And you have a wonderful chance. Here, a love letter or a letter has the advantage of being a well-prepared work, and that preparation is really important. So I think you can put down everything you feel, write it all down, and then take a look at it and see what it is you really need to say. You can have a lot of disappointment in life, but that's not what this letter's about. Mm-hmm. This letter's just the part you love. And maybe another letter or another conversation will deal with the other part, but isn't it nice for a person you do care about to have something permanent in print, in your own handwriting, on paper, to take out, part of the gift, to take out and look at again and again.
Mm-hmm.
What an ongoing gift that is. So I think that's what it is, just letting go of the other stuff for the sake of what you want to do. And I think the truth is when we write down the best part of another person, we're also giving ourselves a chance to be our best selves, and that is the person who sees the good and is able to let go of the other, at least for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
just for that little shining moment. It doesn't matter, that person won't turn around and tick you off again in the same way that person has ticked you off for the last 50 years. That doesn't matter. That doesn't have to do with the love letter you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, you want to...
Well, I know that Judy is going to start another love letter today, but before we get on with that, I want to remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, Love Letters Live. I would also like to say that this program is underwritten in part by Classic Communication, your best source for invitations, announcements, personalized stationery, and special gifts. You can access Classic Communication in two ways. One is through the internet on www.classiccommunication.com, and or you can visit the store at 1623 California Street in San Francisco. And thank you, Barbara.
Yes, thank you, Barbara. And Classic Communication, really, for such beautiful stationery on which to write these love letters.
Okay, well, let's hear the rest of
Let's get back to Judy, and I'm going to ask you what I ask, which is, who gets your love letter today?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, and I had originally told you that I was going to write it to myself, and
yes,
I am. But the more I thought about writing to myself, the more I realized that I really want to write this love letter to my future self.
Oh, how good.
Yeah.
How smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am...
Every person is a whole different universe.
Yes, and... One of, you know that I've been doing a lot of work with the lucid living work, and that's through workshops and things like that. And it's a fabulous, fabulous spiritual, metaphysical process that I've been going in. And in that process, I've really gotten in touch with all the different parts of me. And one of them is a future self.
How do you know what that is?
Well, we have a lot of them. And we can feed the future that we want. And so I thought, okay, and I realize I've had many future selves, and as I step into the future self that becomes my present self, mm-hmm, then I have the excitement of another future self, and I'm about ready to step into the next future self.
You just talk.
And I'm so excited. I realized, oh boy, do I love her. Oh my goodness. I absolutely love her. And
These are the things that you want to say to your future,
yes,
self.
Yes. First of all, I want to just gush all over the place that I love her. But what's exciting about her revealing herself to me is she is capable of so much love and intimacy and vulnerability. Places that I have not stepped fully into in any parts of my life. And, yeah, I mean, I know that I'm lovable, and I know that I give love, and I know that people, that I do a service for people when I'm coaching them. But what I'm realizing is it's a stretch for me to let love into me.
Right.
I'm a good listener, but it's like, oh, how about letting it back into me? And how much am I capable of doing that? And so here I am, dear future self.
That's a nice start, dear future self.
Yeah.
What are you going to say
besides
this?
Besides what I've just said?
Mm-hmm. I'm nothing wrong with a short letter, but I can see in your face that you've got more to say.
But it's, and here I am at that place where, oh, what? How do I put it into words?
Mm-hmm.
I could listen to you and tell you how you could put it into words for yourself.
I know
so,
that.
And because you do these workshops and you ask great questions, please jump in and
I'm
ask
going
me
to.
Questions.
Okay, because I know that one of the things you have talked about at other times is competition.
Yes.
And being free of competition. And how we're not in the society encouraged to love ourselves, that we confuse it with conceit or selfishness. And my own view is, when we acknowledge and say out loud how good we are at something, whatever it is, we're essentially letting the rest of the world know, you can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not conceited at all, but you talk about it for yourself, like the competition issue and the first time you realize you could love other people. I know that was...
Yeah.
Now, is this all past you so we don't have to talk about
well,
it?
Well, it actually is more, what's really more up for me is letting in the love into me. It's not, it's the last years have been learning to let the love out of me out.
But is this letting the love into you that you can feel for yourself, or letting other people have the joy of loving you?
It's not just people. It's letting the love of God or Goddess, however you, mm-hmm. you know, higher self, all that is, letting that in with no conditions, no, if I do this, then I'll get that. It's just because I'm willing to let it in. And that's the part of my future self that I love, is that she's willing to just let it in. She doesn't have to do anything. So how do I make this personal? I love you because you don't do anything. You don't put conditions on the love that comes to you, the love that's existing, the energies that come to you. You don't put conditions on them. You're just willing to sit there and let it come to you. You don't you don't do anything.
And you don't push it away.
No.
You don't. I think that's a big issue for people.
Mm-hmm.
When a compliment is paid, I think it's so normal for most people to have the, oh, no.
Right.
Not me feeling. In which case, you've taken the gift away from yourself, and you've prevented somebody else from giving you something nice.
Oh, it's very punishing.
Uh-huh.
It's very
Come
punishing.
Come to think of it, yes.
It's punishing to you, and it's punishing to me, because I don't get to have it come in and feed my soul.
Uh-huh.
And I've just taken away something from you. I've said, you're full of it.
Indeed, exactly. And nobody wants to do
no.
that. Why would you want to do that to anybody?
No.
You're so right.
Right. So I love my future self because she nurtures her soul. And she allows her soul to be nurtured. She nurtures and she allows her soul to be nurtured.
So this is the immediate future self you're writing to. And when you get
oh,
here,
I don't know if it's immediate. It feels immediate,
I see.
But I don't know when I will step fully into her and become her.
But when you do, will there be another letter coming? Because there will be yet another future self. I mean, the future is always ahead of us. So whatever we are,
right.
And one of the things we look for, by the way, in asking people to join us on this, I'm very specific about it. People who know that life is always, but always mid-journey.
Yes. Yes. And it is.
We are never, thank the Lord, where we are for permanent.
Right. Right. It's very fluid. Life is very fluid.
Yeah.
And so that's what's exciting about writing the letter to my future
okay.
self, is to let her know that I love her.
Okay. And you will... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even though I don't know her yet, I know her on some level. This is getting very metaphysical.
That's okay. This is your first hello.
Yes. Actually, it is,
mm-hmm.
out loud. It's my first
yes,
hello out
yes.
loud. And
acknowledging
how much I love her.
Good.
How much I do.
So you're going to go home from here and you're going to write that letter.
Yes.
And then you are going to mail it to yourself.
Yes, I am.
Okay, because something occurred to me after we spoke last time. You said, oh, mail it to my... Well, I hadn't thought of that. But I see a love letter as being... as earning that honor of being a love letter, only if it's mailed and received. Otherwise, it's something else, beautiful, important, but not a letter. And the truth is, as I think about it, and tell me what you think, the you writing it is a different person than the you reading it.
You know, I really have been thinking about that, because when you said that to me, it was like, wow, mailing it to myself. And then I kept wondering, how will I feel when I read
it? You don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
Because even though you've written it, and you certainly know what's in it,
yes,
you don't know what it says as
right.
the person getting it.
Right.
And you know what? I think you'll be surprised. I think and what stationery will you use? I know I'm off on another thing here, but what do you like to see?
Anything pretty, anything beautiful, anything simple. Anything.
Will you choose the stationery with an eye towards who you are in this future self?
I might. What was coming up for me was what I love to see on when I receive things is that it reflects the person who's writing it.
Yes.
So I will have fun buying something that reflects me. And I can't help but think that when I read it, it will be my future self that reads it.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That it won't be...
The old you.
The old me.
The old Judy.
It'll be the new me, the future me.
Change is something wonderful and something we all need to get used to. We had a conversation, I'm sure I can say this, but we were talking about wearing the same size that you did when you were 21, and you're not 21.
No.
And thinking that you have the same size as always and always being a little uncomfortable. And it made me laugh because I'm thinking, why would you think you are exactly the same as you were at 21? And
exactly.
Your clothing size, your bra size, your shoe size, it's not your social security number.
No.
It changes.
It changes.
And it's so important to be able to make those changes so that we can stay comfortable.
Right.
And still like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's actually how I think of it. There's an image, a self-image that we have of ourselves, and we live into that self-image, or we don't. You know,
right.
We can wear the bra that's too small, and I have a great bra story to go along, but we won't go there. And you can live into the image that you have, and then when it's time, you create a bigger image to live into, and that's the future self.
Okay.
You know, that's exactly what that is.
Lovely.
It's like, okay, now I need clothes that fit me.
Oh, that's an important lesson. You need everything that fits you as you change.
Yes. And
Thank you.
Are we done?
No, I have a question that came up in my mind, and I think our listeners will be interested in well that you two wise women can answer. What do you say when someone pays you a compliment, not about the gorgeous scarf that you're wearing or, you know, the hairstyle or whatever, but when someone pays you a compliment to your face or in a letter, the ultimate compliment about what a beautiful person you are, how do you respond? What's the best thing to say or do?
You do that, Judy.
Well, here's what I do. It's really simple. Thank you.
I was going to say the same thing, yeah.
It's a heartfelt thank you, and mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, and you are, you know, you don't have to follow it up with anything. It's just thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then be quiet and let it in.
And do both of you a favor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just let it in. I find that when people compliment me like that and I say thank you and we just sit there, everybody gets to enjoy it.
That's right.
Receive it.
And when we receive a love letter, Janet, mm-hmm. what's the best response?
Oh, yes, that's such a good question because that's a little more full. Or maybe it's not. But it's nice to respond to it. And sometimes maybe the response is just thank you for that beautiful letter and all that it implies. Mm-hmm. I love seeing it. Or maybe you want to look at it, and if there's a lot to it that's complicated, responding to a love letter takes some preparation also. And you want to do it point by point because somebody's bothered to tell you something point by point. You want to do that person the honor of responding to it. And as Judy says, do yourself the honor of indicating that you've let it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I think that there's a thank you. That's just a dismissive thank you, and there's a thank you that lets it in. They're two different kinds of thank yous.
We could talk about this forever. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Judy, perhaps you'll come back and join us again sometime.
Absolutely. It was fun.
I'll come back
and let you know.
Yes, and that's the thing we say to people. If we don't do it for a response, no gift is. But if something delicious comes up, will you let us know? And
yes.
We can share it with the people who are listening. Yes.
Which reminds us to ask you to please visit our website, www.loveletterslive.com. And please send us your letters and questions. This is KUSF, Love Letters Live, 90.3 FM, and we hope you'll join us again next week at this time. So for now,
goodbye from Janet
and Teresa.
And just remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.